What's up, guys? Episode 93 of the High and Inside podcast. This is Joel Walker. Thanks again for listening. I'm going to talk about the XFL. Let's just talk about it. I don't want to talk about baseball anymore. The XFL was such a great watching this weekend. I think I watched maybe 3 to 5 minutes of each game, and I am now a huge fan. No, I'm not. Okay. Let's just go. Yeah, I'll talk about baseball. The baseball fun fact for this week's episode: in 1944, St. Louis won the World Series, beating St. Louis. Representing the National League were the Cardinals, and representing the American League were the Browns. Both played in St. Louis, and both played at Sportsman Park. The Cardinals would win 4-2. And another thing I want to talk about, now this is February, obviously, and in February we celebrate Black History Month. And the first Braves African-American player is Sam Jethro. Sam was originally courted by Branch Rickey. And most of us know the name. If you've seen the movie 42, you know he's the guy that brought in Jackie Robinson as the first African-American player. But Sam was courted by Branch Rickey, and Rickey would actually go ahead and sign Sam to the Dodgers. And originally he had the idea that maybe Sam Jethro was going to be the first guy to break the color barrier, but he was a little bit more, at that time, you could say wild compared to Jackie Robinson, who was a little more clean cut. And obviously it worked out. Now, Sam would play with the Dodgers minor league team in Montreal alongside Jackie Robinson. And with Montreal in 1949, he played a full 153 games. He hit .326 with 83 RBIs and led the league with 154 runs scored. He set a league record with 89 stolen bases. That is incredible. Now, his 207 base hits and 19 triples also led the International League. Unfortunately, at that time, I guess in a sense, unfortunately, Sam was blocked by Dodger center fielder Duke Snider. And Duke Snider had a really great career, but for Sam, he had nowhere to really play. So Branch Rickey sold Sam's contract to the Braves. And it was a big deal, especially for a guy that's never played in the major leagues. And he did play quite a while and successfully in the Negro Leagues. But he sold the contract, and it was said to have been for at least $100,000, which was big money back then. He made his MLB debut with the Boston Braves on April 18, 1950, at the age of 33. He played center field and played in 141 games that season. He would go on to win the NL Rookie of the Year. Pretty impressive. And he would play 3 seasons with the Braves and only play 2 games for the Pirates in 1954. So unfortunately, because he got in baseball, like a lot of these guys later in their life, because of just the whole racial barrier not being broken down until later in their career, he didn't get to play as long as perhaps he could have, obviously, if the barrier was broken earlier in his career. But he really had a great career in the Negro Leagues. So I wanted to discuss that because, honestly, I wasn't really aware of who the first African-American player was for the Braves. And I thought this would be a perfect time to discuss it. All right, let me go ahead and just quickly talk about what's been going on in baseball this week. Really just one story, and I'm not going to talk about it a lot, and I'll go into it in just a minute because I want to mention something else, but it's going to be the Mookie Betts, David Price, Jock Peterson, that whole issue, and I'm really not going to talk about it because you can really hear about it pretty much anywhere else. I just want to mention it. But first, I want to mention that the Braves pitchers and catchers are reporting February 12th, and the first workout will be the 13th. Position players report on the 17th. Holy crap, it's almost here. Thank God. But in the meantime, you can watch the XFL games because I know that is just super intense watching really, really good football. All right, let me go ahead and move into this whole Mookie Betts, David Price thing. This whole story has been so up and down. I don't even know what's going on. T- technically at the time of this recording, I'm recording Sunday night, it looks like Betts and Price are back on. Originally, the deal was three teams involving the Twins, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox with Mookie Betts and David Price, the big names obviously going to the Dodgers. And then the Dodgers were going to trade Jock Peterson to the Angels and also send Maeda to the Twins. It looks like all of that is still going on except for Jock Peterson going to the Angels now. As of just now, the reports, and by the time you listen to this, it's going to change, is that he's not going to the Angels. And I've seen some people say, well, let's bring him to the Braves. I think a couple years ago, seasons ago, I kind of was like, well, what about bringing Jock Peterson here? And pretty much everyone crushed it. And it wasn't like I'm like pushing for it, but he's good in a sense from a certain advantage or a certain vantage point, but I don't really want to see him come here, to be honest with you. I mean, how many outfielders do we need? I mean, I think we're good. I don't think he's going to put the team over as much. But anyways, moving on from that, Dodgers got really good, and they were already really good, but they got even better. And the deal now looks like it's just between the Dodgers and the Red Sox. I'm not going to go into it because I really don't know enough. And you could definitely get better takes from this from other podcasts or other news outlets. But, man, that's going to be a really good team. And they're going to put up some battles. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of glad the Braves only faced them, six times in the season, and we're not the Giants or the Rockies or the Padres having to face this team as a division rival. It's going to be tough. Interested to see on what is going to happen with Jock Peterson. I thought that was going to be a good move, though, him going to the Angels. And just kind of have to see what happens there. Lots of other things that probably are going to pop up with that whole situation this week. I am not one to really discuss the details of it because I am an idiot when it comes to that. You guys can go to other places, but very, very interesting trade. Makes you wonder if the Red Sox could have got something better out of that, because I think what Dodgers are initially now giving is Verdugo and Jeter Downs, and I think it's a pretty good trade. I like what the Red Sox are getting back for giving up one season of Mookie Betts and a high contract with David Price. All right, let's go ahead and move into this week's funny baseball name. This week, our player's name was, because he's not alive anymore, Harry Cheek. Yeah, Harry Gordon Cheek. In 1910, at the age of 31, the catcher made his MLB debut with Philadelphia. He would only play in two whopping games, and he would go 2-for-4 in the two games that he played. Although his MLB experience was limited, from 1902 to 1923, he played professional baseball. This week, we have Harry Gordon Cheek, not Harry Butt Cheek. Oh, yeah. Yes, the potty humor is real. Here we go. Another week of Brave social media hot takes. And I have to say, you guys are calming down a little bit now that we are getting back into the season. I'm sure it's going to pick up. But I have a few for you, and here we go. All right, let's talk about some bad takes on social media. A couple Braves related, and then one that is not Braves related. Gonna read these. Don't name the person that posts them, but I am going to read them, and here we go. First one, in reference to bringing back the chop. Oh, good God, can we stop talking about this? I hope they do, but the Braves owners won't allow it. Plus, they didn't get anyone in the offseason. Okay, first day on the internet for this guy. First day as a Braves fan for this person. I am honestly, I'm sick of talking about the chop. I'm sick of you guys discussing it. If you want to do the chop, do the freaking chop at the game. I don't think they're going to remove the whole crowd from the stadium for doing the chop. and doing the chant. And if you don't have a tomahawk in your seat, who cares? Okay, so you can bring the chop back. No one has ever said they're getting rid of the chop. It's not off. At this point, I get rid of the chop. I'm sick of you guys being babies about it. And if you're upset with me for saying that, so be it. I enjoy it. It's overdone. But I do, whatever. It's part of being a Braves fan. It's part of going to the games. But, man, you guys are just, you are blowing it out of the water. Now, you're talking about the Braves owners won't allow the chop, and they didn't get anyone in the offseason. We didn't pick up a single free agent. Shame on the Braves. Although I did just see in an article that the offseason moves, the Braves got an A-. Because guess what? They did pick up some people. I don't know if you heard about it. There's a thing called Google. You can check it out. You can type in free agents Braves 2020 and who they brought in. And it's crazy how that works. But I don't know. I don't know if you guys just type stuff and you're like, I'm not even going to put any thought to this. I'm just going to type it and see what happens. So next one. Was Chipper overrated? I'm guessing you're talking about Chipper Jones and not Chipper McCracken, as we all know who Chipper McCracken is. But Chipper, is he overrated? Obviously, this guy was just trying to get a reaction. And then when people were getting irritated and saying, no, he wasn't overrated, the guy's like, I was just asking a question. No, you're trying to stir the crap up. No, Chipper wasn't overrated. The guy's in the Hall of Fame, had a few injury issues that I think his numbers could have been increased even more, but regardless, he's still in the Hall of Fame. He's a former MVP. He's a Braves legend. So no, Chipper's not overrated. And I'm going to talk about Chipper a little bit later in a new segment that I have. So stick around for that. Now the last one I want to read, don't have that many this week. You guys are getting a little bit better on social media. This one is not Braves related. It is about the one that a lady that gets a lot of flack and a lot of crap from people, and that's Jessica Mendoza. Now, has she said stuff that's kind of irritated me a little bit? I thought I didn't like how she kind of handled the fire situation or just kind of discussion, but I think she does a good job, and I like that there are women in the broadcast booth and that more women are being brought in. You know what? If you're fit for the job, I don't care who you are. If you can do the job better than someone else just because they're a man, then I am totally cool with you being in there. So this is about Jessica Mendoza, who this past week is basically not coming back as an analyst on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and is also not going to be returning to her job capacity with the Mets. So here's what someone put. It's just ignorant. Thank God. Go announce some women's sports. Or sport. Just one. You should only do one. But it has to be women's sport. Man, this is just the dumbest 1915 take that you could give me. And I've seen quite a few people just ripping on Jessica Mendoza, and it's fine if you don't rip on her, but when it comes to ripping on someone because she's a woman and you don't believe that a woman should be calling a man sport, even though women enjoy the sport, men enjoy the sport, why can't we have a take from a woman who's just as knowledgeable? Well, I'll tell you what, she's more knowledgeable than 99% of the people on Facebook that are internet GMs and trolls, but you're gonna make it so ignorant that you're gonna say, go announce women's sports. So are you gonna say that only men can announce men's sports? So softball, women's college basketball, anything women's related, they shouldn't really have a man announcing because they gotta stick with men's sports. Women's just stick with women's sports. Man, that's just so behind the times and so stupid to me. I don't care. Like I said, I've seen this also. Okay, like I said, I don't care. But if you can do the job better than someone else, do it. Okay, so I had a second thought there. Sorry, in the middle there. So random thought. But you see that the San Francisco Giants have hired a female coach. Yankees. I think the Cubs have a female coach coming in, and people are just like butthurt about it. And it's like, do we go to your job and say, you know, women cannot be in this job? They cannot do this job. I'm trying to think of the word. Maybe there's a word you can think of that I'm probably not gonna, I'm not gonna say, because I try to keep it clean on the show. But I think it's just, God, you're so stupid if you have that mindset. I think you're just behind the times, and you're a pig. There's the word, a pig. And if a man could do the job better, then let the man do it. If a woman can do it. But I get sick of seeing these. And I've even seen some women ripping on it. Like, oh, God forbid women progress in a field that has been dominated by men. Maybe you guys don't agree with my take. Totally cool if you don't. But I think you should probably come with the times and get with it. Get with the program. So, Braves social media hot takes plus a just non-Braves but baseball-related hot take there for you this week. And I'll have some more for you next episode. All right, so this week I'm going to change it up a little bit. Instead of doing the failed baseball promotion, a thought that I had, and I think a lot of us have this thought, is what if? So this is a what if, and most of this is Braves related, technically. The first one is really not a big what if, so I'm going to start out kind of minor, and this one is about Chipper Jones. What if Chipper Jones didn't blow out his knee and got to play in 94? Now, of course, 1994 was a strike-shortened season. The Braves would be 68-46 at the time of the strike, playing 114 games. And Terry Pendleton would play a majority in his last season with the Braves. I'm just kind of curious, Chipper Jones, instead of starting in 95 and not having to deal with the injury, would it made a difference in his career? I don't think it would have made a bad difference, but I think this could have definitely padded his stats. Obviously, no duh, Captain Obvious, right? But it would have been interesting to see how much more padded would his stats be, even though he is overrated, right? He's overrated. No, he's not. No, no. And how dare you question that? Next one. What if another strike season didn't impact a Braves player, and that's Del Murphy? So what if Del Murphy didn't miss games and stats due to the player strike in 1981, which cost him 56 games? Remember, Del Murphy finished his career with 398 home runs, too shy of 400. I just got my calculator, did that math, and I know I'm on it. I know that's correct. Two home runs, he would have 400. 400 sounds a lot better than 398. Still, in my opinion, should be in the Hall of Fame. If Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame, Del Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. How many MVPs did Harold Baines win? Zero. How many did Del Murphy win? Two. Not the Hall of Fame. Whatever. Okay, shut up, Joel. Just shut your mouth. But wouldn't it be a big difference, maybe in some voters' eyes, if you saw the 400 number? And the same is going to go to the what if about Fred McGriff, another guy. He should be in the Hall of Fame. And don't let this subject divide you Braves fans. Let's stick together. Let's not be like something I've talked about in the past where people want to argue, okay, well, Del Murphy shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Andrew Jones should be. Fred McGriff shouldn't be. Fred McGriff should be. Why can't we just say Del Murphy belongs in the Hall of Fame, Fred McGriff belongs in the Hall of Fame, and Andrew Jones is right there close to it? Unfortunately, he just after 30, he just turned into a really bad player. But anyways, let's go back to Fred McGriff, since I'm talking about Del Murphy missing two home runs because of a strike. He would have definitely had those home runs, had more than 400. So Fred McGriff, he missed time once again. Talking about Chipper Jones missing time to the 94 strike. And it also kind of lingered into 95, which cut the season short a little bit. And I believe Fred McGriff missed 114 games. And you're looking at him finishing up with 493 home runs. Obviously, once again, looking here, you would have, you know, had those seasons, he would have definitely had 500-plus home runs. So there's some guys not in the Hall of Fame linked to PEDs. Fred McGriff is not linked to PEDs, and a guy that would have had 500-plus. So why not be in the Hall of Fame? I still say with 493, not that this is all just factored on home runs, but the stat looks good. And there's other circumstances that I believe these guys should be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm just looking at, what if these guys didn't miss time two strikes? You're going to look at these stats a little bit differently if you're looking at 400-plus, 500-plus home runs. In 1994, though, man, Fred McGriff was unbelievable. In just 113 games that he played, he had 31 home runs and 94 RBI. Could you imagine, had he played a full 162 games, you know, close to it. I know he's probably not going to play all of them because he obviously didn't play one game, but a guy that's already looking at 31 home runs and 94 RBI, wow, that's really good just for a full season right there for anybody, but for a guy that's played 113 games, man, I wouldn't give to have the 94-95 strike just not be there and to see what would have happened. Even though the Expos were leading, that could be another what if. Looking out from the outside perspective of being a Braves fan, the Expos were in first place that season. Now, I don't know. What if? What if they finished the season? What if they won the division? What if they made it far and went to the World Series or won the World Series? Where would Montreal be? Anywhere? Would the same circumstances be there where they had to leave and go to Washington, D.C.? They had a really talented team. Okay, so the last what if. Here's one I don't think people really think about. And I don't think I've thought about it till recently, but you talk about what ifs with guys like Barry Bonds and the home run record. Okay, so I'm going to go what if. You got Barry Bonds. Yes, he's technically the home run king. Yeah, I know you don't like that. But home run leader. Okay, Hank Aaron's the home run king, right? But Babe Ruth is right there. So here's the what if about Babe Ruth. I'm not going to say those two words anymore. I'm getting tired of saying it. But Babe Ruth started his career as only a pitcher. I'm sorry. He started his career as a pitcher. But what if he started his career as a hitter and not a pitcher? Now, I talked about this in a story time recently, discussing Babe Ruth and his pretty dominating pitching career, because he pitched mainly when he was with Boston. And once he went to New York and the Yankees, he switched over and really transitioned into a hitter full time and gave up pitching. Now, you have to look at the lost years of Babe Ruth when he began with Boston as primarily a pitcher at the age of 19. And it wasn't until the age of 24 that he began to gain more at bats and transition into a hitter. Now, in those 6 years with Boston, he only had 49 home runs. Could you imagine the total of home runs that Babe Ruth could have if he would have played those six seasons with only 49 home runs? That's talking about one season right there with Babe Ruth, 49 home runs probably. I would probably say that Babe Ruth would probably have 800 or more home runs career-wise had he not been pitching and really not been used as pitcher, but been hitting. I mean, just, it's baffling, and golly, could you imagine what the numbers would have been? And you wouldn't have a debate of Barry Bonds, he cheated, supposedly, even though he's never been fully caught. I think we're pretty aware it's there, but he didn't test positive, and he didn't bang any trash cans. Whoa. Okay, anyways, golly, think about it though. Babe Ruth, 6 seasons of really not hitting. He would be the home run leader, and I don't think anybody would be passing that. So there's my new segment. Just kind of, I don't think I'm going to do it too often, but maybe if you have any suggestions, let me know. I would love for you to hit me up on Twitter at high_and_inside. So let me know. Is there one you think about that you just like, what if this occurred in baseball? And you could do that with anything. I can do it about my life. What if I wasn't an idiot in high school? What if? Yeah. Last week, I totally forgot to put in my story time because it was definitely a longer show. I had 2 awesome guests, and the show was a bit on the longer side, and totally forgot to put in the story time. So last week, Dusty Baker was hired as the Astros manager, and I have a lot of respect for Dusty Baker. When I was probably about 11, 12, my grandparents were building a house down in Henry County. And I remember, I didn't really know who Dusty Baker was. It's right when he was taking the Giants job. So my grandparents were building this house. It was a new kind of subdivision. It was a plot of land that was being built, kind of a neighborhood. And my grandfather had told me, we're walking in the neighborhood, that there was a plot of land that Dusty Baker was going to buy. And I don't know how great these sources were, but it's just a memory that always stuck with me that Dusty Baker was almost my grandparents' neighbor. This was my grandfather that got me into baseball and was a huge impact on me, life and baseball. And going back. So the story time is involving Dusty Baker, and it's titled The Baker High Five. With the recent hiring of Dusty Baker as the Astros manager, I thought I'd tell the legendary story of his involvement with the creation of the high five. Although slapping hands as a type of handshake dates back to at least the 1920s, something was a bit different on October 2nd, 1977. It was the last day of the baseball season, and the Astros were facing the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. In the 6th inning, Dusty Baker hit a home run off Astros pitcher J.R. Richard. It was Baker's 30th home run, making the Dodgers the first team in history to have 4 hitters with at least 30 home runs each in a single season. When Baker arrived back at home after the home run, his teammate Glenn Burke was waiting for him. Burke raised his hand in the air toward Baker, who returned the gesture. They smacked hands, and according to Baker, his hand was up in the air and he was arching way back, so I reached up and hit his hand. It seemed like the thing to do. The Oxford English Dictionary has only included the term as a noun since 1980, and it was added as a verb in 1981. The name high five comes from the fact that you're raising 5 fingers up in the air. And I'm going to do one other thing to change it up, another segment. And I'm going to probably do a few of these. Instead of doing the Braves, where are they now, for right now, I'll go back to that later. I want to do a get to know your coach. And I just got a brief summary of the coaches that we have and their baseball career maybe we're not really familiar with. Because let's be honest, most of them were before our time. And some of them were when we were younger kids. And they didn't have a dominating career as other folks have. And this week, I want to talk about our favorite coach, Ron Washington. So this is a new segment, and it's called Get to Know Your Coach, featuring Ron Washington. Ron Washington was originally signed by the Kansas City Royals on July 17th, 1970. He spent the decade playing in the minor leagues, though, including with the Royals, Mets, and Dodgers. In 1977, he finally got the call from the Dodgers for their September call-ups. He did manage a .368 batting average, going 7-for-19. Unfortunately, it wasn't until the age of 29 in 1981 that he got called up again. This time, he was playing for the Twins, which he would play with up until 1986. His best and most used season was in 1982. He played in 119 games, hitting .271. He would never play 100 or more games during his seasons besides 1982. And in 87, he played for the Orioles, 88, he played for the Indians, and in 89. At the age of 37, he played his final season with Houston. He finished with 414 career hits, a .261 batting average, .961 fielding percentage, and played shortstop, third base, second base, left field, center field, and first base. He ended his career with 70 errors. Well, guys, that's pretty much going to wrap up the show. And quickly, I want to pub a couple things. One is baseball related. If you guys didn't catch on the MLB Network the interview with AJ Hinch, I highly suggest you check it out. I know some of you guys are butthurt, and you're going to have an opinion on it, and I totally understand. But I think it's, in fairness, it's a good watch and something to listen to. Doesn't really make things better, but I thought it was very interesting that he came out and discussed the situation. It was pretty awkward at times to kind of watch, but hey, you know, he made the bed and was part of it, and you know, has to face the consequences. But I like his approach to it, and some of you guys are going to hate these guys no matter what they do. They could go save a kitten out of a tree that's stuck, and you guys will still hate them. But, you know, we got to forgive. We got to move on when it comes to small things in the grand scheme of life. It's baseball. Yeah, they cheated. But how many of you have ever cheated on a test in school or done something maybe that wasn't, you know, maybe the honest thing to do? And I'm not saying, look, you cheat at your taxes. I'm not talking about anything crazy like that, but it's baseball, guys. And as much as this was an awful decision by the Astros and everything they did, it's just time for us to move on. Just like we need to move on about talking about the chop. Did you do the chop when I did the intro and outro music for Ron Washington? And did you get offended? Did you get offended or did you do the chop? I mean, which one is it? But hey, go check out the AJ Hinch interview. It's on YouTube. It is an interesting watch. I don't think it's going to change your opinion about the guy, but I do like the step that he's taken. And I think these other guys are going to have to take that step to apologize. And as just human beings that make mistakes, man, guys, maybe forgive. I'm not saying you got to forget about it, but just let's move on. Let's get ready for baseball season and, you know, just enjoy it and not hold on to all these things that make us bitter all the time, like Braves social media. Other things, I finished the book that I discussed last week, not Jim Bouton's book. Good God, I'll read that. I am so ADD. When it comes to reading books at times, if it doesn't just totally capture my attention, I'll read a few chapters. Then, I mean, I literally probably have 50 baseball books to read, and I'll sit there and go, well, let me try this one, and I'll start reading it. And I'm more of a guy that likes the bios written, you know, from that player's perspective. Auto bio is maybe what they call it in the library language. But, you know, when it comes to more updated books and the autobiographies, where if it's written long time ago or just a biography, not from the player's perspective, it's a little bit tougher to get in. I like the inside stories that players get. So I finished the book last week from Tanner Jones about his baseball card collection and collecting and in his history with that. I thought it was a really good book. And now I'm reading the book about the movie made about Lou Gehrig, The Pride of the Yankees. There's a book that is about that, and I really do enjoy it, and it's one of my favorite movies, just about Lou Gehrig. I mean, granted, yeah, it's not totally accurate and everything, but something I kind of thought about, you know, talking about the what ifs earlier, what if this movie was never made? Would Lou Gehrig be the legend that he is today? Lou Gehrig's my all-time favorite player, and just what seemed to be a very humble player that was so dominant and ended, unfortunately, with tragedy and a horrible disease. Would his legendary status be what it is with or without the movie, The Pride of the Yankees? Just a great movie. I love it. So I'm reading the book about the making of it, and trying to catch us on some new shows that were new to me. I've started watching Watchmen on HBO. I'm a couple episodes into that. Man, that I'm not very familiar with the whole comic book stuff and story with Watchmen, but it is interesting. And definitely trying to figure some stuff out. HBO has another show I've talked about that is so good. If you haven't watched it, it's called The Outsider. And I think it's going to be tonight, technically Sunday night. I think this is the fifth episode, and it's based on a Stephen King novel story. And I've never read it, so I don't know what the story, what happens with it, but it's definitely suspenseful. Makes you, you're glued in. You're like, what is going to happen? What is happening here? But it's called The Outsider. And then another show on Netflix that I've kind of started that I'm interested in watching, I think it's called Lock and Key. So I think I've seen some posts about it on Facebook. And I'm just binge watching, folks. Like I said, it's kind of tough with ADD. I'm all over the place sometimes. And it's hard to watch stuff when you got two little kids. And, you know, you have to kind of be mindful of what you watch. At least I am. Anyways, thank you for listening, and I'm hoping this next episode coming up, episode 94, I'll have another guest. I do have some people lined up. I hope you guys will tune in and check it out. Once again, on Twitter, at @high_and_inside. Tell your friends to listen, Spotify, iTunes. Make sure you check out bigheadsmedia.com. Plenty of podcasts. Catch you guys next week. I was there in the backstage when this light came around. I grew up not a changeling, but when the first time around, I could see all the weakness, I could pick all the faults, but I could see all the faintness, just a stick in your throat. P1G. Hung around in your soundtrack to mirror all that you've done, to find the right sign of reason to kill the feelings for one. I can see all the callbacks, I can see through your eyes. All this told me no contact, no matter how I've been trying. P1G. P1G. I can still hear the footsteps, I can see all the walls. Slid into your man traps with no hearing at all. I just see contradiction, I to give up the fight, just to live in the past tense, to make believe you were right.